Welcome to day four of our Netball World Cup Rewinds. I'm Zara Bark, and on the Netball Show, we saw reaction from Dan Ryan, Fee Glover and Gary Burgess, who achieved his game 100.
It's a massive honour. When I started playing netball for England, I never thought that I would have the privilege of leading an England team.
We're really excited to have another pinnacle event in the UK for our sport, and our sport's only going to grow from having it on our home turf.
We want to be playing on the world stage, and we want to be playing against the world's best, so we'll go in without any fear and really, really looking forward to that battle.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
It's Andy, welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno, here day four, the Netball World Cup in Liverpool. I'm outside in the plaza, lots of great things going on here. We've got the pop-up court, you can find out more about B-Netball. Red Bull are here, as are Jaffa as well. Really great atmosphere, and make sure you get your picture taken in front of the big wheel. First today, reaction on Northern Ireland v Malawi, as they lost by four.
Oh, look, to be honest, I'm obviously disappointed in the end result, but I'm actually really proud of the effort and the resilience that our team showed today. Yesterday was pretty heartbreaking for us and took quite an emotional toll on everybody, I think, and we really had to have some honest conversations with each other about how we were going to respond from it. Mm-hmm. And our biggest test today wasn't the scoreline, it was how we stood up and showed up for the game today. And I thought, the players really took on the opportunity to have another go, and I'm really proud of them for doing that. And, you know, we're in and around the mark in the first quarter. We got ourselves in a great position second, third, and right in the match in the fourth. And Malawi are a world-class side. So for us to be able to stand up, show the resilience we did to brush away the disappointment of yesterday and come and perform and play really well in most parts of that game today, that's what it's about. So although we're disappointed we didn't win the match, which maybe was in reach at certain times in the game, I'm really proud of the character of the group and the resilience they showed and their determination to get better and improve. So that's all you can ask for as a coach.
And is it going to be helpful going into tomorrow's match? You've got that extended rest time, but you're also going to be playing a team that has a very similar style to what you have.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one tomorrow, because we've obviously had a quite heavy load also in the lead-up to the World Cup with some test matches. So I've had quite a few players that have been on the court for almost the entire tournament. So, and that's why we had to make a couple of changes today to try and freshen up some legs, because we're asking a lot of some certain players. So it's about trying to keep the edge and read your players, and that's obviously what we're learning as we go through this competition. But, the opposition against New Zealand is, obviously it's not a winnable game for us, so it's out of reach, but it's certainly an opportunity for the players here to learn and grow and action their learnings again, and that's where we've got to keep perspective. You know, we've got Barbados after that, which is a game that we can take if we play well, so it is about perspective for us. But you know, these players are competitive, so they're going to want to get out there and see what they can do against New Zealand for sure.
What did you pick up from the game in Wales last week to today?
Yeah, Malawi played a very similar style to what they did in Wales, and they play a very similar style as what they do always. And we just had to tweak a couple of things in our game plan from our match a couple of weeks ago. And I thought the players executed that really well. It was a similar style to what we saw from Zimbabwe, so there wasn't much difference in our preparation. And I thought most of it worked in parts to give ourselves a chance to be right in the game, which we were.
You also heard from Fee Torna.
Yeah, it was goal for goal for a long while. I think obviously we had a tough loss yesterday, so trying to recover and regroup from that, and then an early start this morning probably just caught us at the end of the match.
And you yourself had a really good game. You took a number of intercepts and you swung between goal defence and wing defence.
Yep.
Was that part of the game plan going into the match?
Yeah, I think that's what I've been doing pretty much in our lead up. We've kind of been swinging them between the two, just depending on where the need is. So I'm pretty comfortable in both. I'm obviously a little undersized in the circle, but happy to kind of bash around in there and throw what weight I have around. So we've always kind of worked with me in both positions.
And the physicality out there, how did you find that?
Yeah, I think it's tough. I think it's hard. I think there's obviously there's different interpretations from every umpire, so I think it's obviously just adjusting to that twice in a game can be a little bit of a struggle at times. But I think they obviously were that bit more physical, and we probably backed off a little bit towards the end.
And you did maintain your composure. We could see that you were getting a bit frustrated with the physicality of it. How hard is it to maintain that focus?
Yeah, it's really difficult. I think when they're coming in late and they're coming in hard, it is difficult to try and always kind of take the ball, reset, and then look for that option, especially up an attack. So, I think the cumulative effect of that does definitely wear and tear on the attack end.
What does that mean for you? Like, you actually, you've played every single minute of the tournament so far. How's the legs feeling?
A little heavy, yeah. They're I'm used to playing a lot of minutes, but yeah, I haven't. I've played everything to date, so yeah, it's tough, but we'll regroup and recover tonight, and then we go again tomorrow against New Zealand.
So what is Dan's rotation policy? Does he not have one? He's got his starting seven, he likes to stick with it?
Yep, who's ever in, he wants on the court and who's there, we just got to step up and play.
Yep, fair enough.
What did you learn from meeting them in Wales last week?
Yeah, I think we learned a lot. I think we had a 15 goal loss down in Wales, so obviously didn't try and pull that back this week, and they didn't have Joyce down there, so I think Joyce adds another level of professionalism to them, so to be able to shut them down and keep it within four was pretty good building up last week.
Games keep coming, New Zealand next, same kind of prep, just another game.
Yeah, absolutely, we're just early game now, so it's probably not even midday right now. So we got a bit of time, we don't play till three tomorrow, so yeah, just recover and get in the ice baths, and then we regroup for tomorrow.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
Hi, it's Jade Clark.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.
Woo!
Gary, when we spoke, it was the anticipation of Game 100. Now that it's passed, did it go as you wanted it to?
Yeah, it was a lovely game. A fantastic spectacle between two fantastic teams. Yeah, absolutely fine. I mean, I'm yet to do my post-match analysis, so I can't tell you how well I've done. I haven't seen the assessors or umpire coaches yet either, so I can't tell you what they
happy
think.
Happy for the moment.
But I'm happy at the moment, yeah. Yeah.
And maybe a nice little touch that it was Northern Ireland as well, one of the home nations? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I've always had an admiration for Northern Ireland as a country because, I mean, really, in geographical size, they're about the same size as a county in England, so for them to do as well as they do on the budget that they get and for as long as they have, I always think that that's really quite admirable. And then likewise, I'm always astonished by African countries that, you know, they're able to compete at the highest level with very limited resources at their home.
Another nice touch as well, the special Acme whistle as well.
Yeah. Acme have really loaded me up this tournament and been really, really kind to me. Yeah, they gave me engraved 100 with a GB on the other bevel side, but that's one use only. I'm really disappointed because it really... No. It's a matte black one with gold engraving, but I'm really disappointed because it really... I mean, it's such a geeky umpire thing, but it really blows really well and it sounds it sounds great. But it's a one use only. It's going to the England Netball archive in Huddersfield because I'm the first English umpire, you know, first man as well to get 100 international caps, so that's
we know about the museum and the archive there. Yeah. It's important as well that people take that in while they're over in the UK maybe as well.
Yeah, absolutely, it's not too far away from here in Huddersfield, so all of the history of England netball has been meticulously catalogued and archived by people like Sheila Redpath, who's the legend of the game, Brian Worrell and Joan Mills, who's the technical director here, but it's absolutely fantastic. And I think really, I mean, I'm quite young in the terms of netball, but for us youngsters, we're going to have to pick up that mantle and safeguard the history of our sport in this country.
You mentioned a few of those names this morning on your Twitter. Anyone in particular that's just been there throughout?
I mean, I'm always thankful for Bedfordshire Netball. It's where I started. It's who I'm still affiliated to, even though I haven't lived there for 8 years. There's some real fantastic people in there, but people like Jan Burke, who, I mean, I didn't drive in the early stages of my career, and she drove me to many of my fixtures. Sylvia Eastley, former international umpire, but Sheila Redpath has been a constant. She's been my mentor for 22 years. But she, for people that don't know, she actually umpired the 1991 World Cup final in Sydney, and yeah, just she's just fantastic. She'll tell me when I've got things wrong, she'll tell me things that I don't want to hear, but she's always does it, knowing full well that I'd listen to her and it'll enhance my performance next time I take to the court.
And people like that just being there constantly as well with their supporters?
No, absolutely. We've got an unwritten agreement that she will tell me when it's time to go, because I think we all have that problem that we love it so much and we might hang on a little bit too much and then our performance is compromised. So I think she'll know before I know, but when that call comes, I'll take that graciously.
And how are you going to celebrate your 100? Are you going to wait till after the tournament?
Oh yeah, I think we're going to need to wait till Sunday night, and then we were talking last night coming back from dinner making some plans about the last night, but yeah, strictly strictly early to bed, water, and match analysis is the way forward.
Oh, sounds fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. But you've got to do it to stay on top of the game.
The Netball Show from the 2019 Netball World Cup in Liverpool.